So this is kind of full circle because we're here in Belvidere, Illinois, in front of a mural that we saw when it was just about halfway finished.
Yeah.
And here it is, looking beautiful.
You could go find that old podcast. But you know, speaking of circles, the circle of life.
Whoa.
Why are we here in Belvidere again?
Well, Belvidere Cemetery. It's October and there are all sorts of things we could have done. The spooky season, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what?
It would be real hacky to do like a corn maze episode in October like we did last year.
See previous episodes. But yeah, we'd heard about there was a very special Frank Lloyd Wright chapel in the Belvidere Cemetery. Belvidere Cemetery, just, it's huge.
Gorgeous.
Just,
well manicured.
Yeah.
And right in the center of it, this temple?
Chapel.
Chapel.
Same. Yep. Kind of a meeting, just a meeting space.
Not just a chapel, too. The only chapel built by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah.
By who?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Have you heard of that guy?
Sort of.
So, yeah, we figured October, cemeteries, what could be better?
Roll tape.
Well, now, how did you get onto this, Sue Stevens?
I went for donuts. There's a really great donut shop in Belvidere.
Okay.
I was looking for a great place to eat. It's like, oh, this Belvidere Cemetery. Is it disrespectful to eat donuts there? Maybe. But yeah, just, I like cemeteries. And I had heard that there was a Frank Lloyd Wright chapel here.
It's a little symmetrical. It almost looks like two, like a townhouse chapels next to each other. Two doors, stairs in the center.
These two doors are kind of mysterious looking. Do they go down? Yeah, they go down.
They're glass and they go down.
Now, you see a building in the middle of a cemetery and you assume it's a mausoleum. This is not a mausoleum.
No?
No, but we'll learn more from Sam.
My name is Sam Larson, and I am considered the sexton of the Belvidere Cemetery. I've worked here for, I'm going on 29 years, and born and raised in Belvidere. So,
what does a sexton do?
Manages the cemetery.
Okay.
Do all the record keeping, and so I do all the record keeping. I'm not sure that that's everybody's role in a cemetery office, and ours it happens to be. I work with the families, purchase the graves. So my thing is, I can very easily go down the rabbit hole with this because this is my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not only working here as long as I have, being born and raised here, anyone in town can tell you. In fact, I just had breakfast with church people and I sold 3 columbarium niches while I'm having breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Because we had the conversation of, you know, my husband's cremated, what am I going to do? What's the next step? What goes on with all of that? So that's my thing with it. So,
do you have ancestors here as well?
I do.
So
I have.
This is very personal for you.
Very personal. I was, my grandfather was buried here when I was like 2 or 3 years old. So I was raised with watering the flowers on Wednesdays and Sundays and et cetera. My rest of my family is here. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. So we started out in 1847. This cemetery was established in 1847 on 4 acres of property, okay? We are not a city cemetery. Everybody because thinks we're a city cemetery because we're in the city. We are a board of, we're an association run by a board of directors, okay? So basically our association was established, I believe, in like 1848.
How did you get Frank Lloyd Wright to...
How did they get a Frank Lloyd Wright? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Let's
start like 1907. But, okay, so Dr. Pettit died in 1899 in Cedar Falls, Iowa. And Mrs. Pettit, the family born, Mrs. Pettit and Dr. Pettit, born and raised in Belvidere. Mrs. Pettit brought him back to be buried in the family plots right out here in the cemetery. We have an article that says she brought 60 people on a private train. When she got here, there wasn't any place to have a memorial service. So the history that I've been given is that, you know, a memorial chapel needed to be built. 1903, there's a newspaper article in the Belvedere paper that the cemetery board was considering building a memorial chapel, didn't mention Mrs. Pettit, and it didn't mention Frank Lloyd Wright. Okay, so the next history that I have is that in 1905, Mrs. Pettit's brother knew Frank Lloyd Wright, so they went to Oak Park, and she met with him in the studio in Oak Park, and the chapel was completed in 1907 for $3,000. Okay.
Did he do a lot of chapels, or was this...
No, this is the only chapel.
The only one?
I think he's done chapels. I think there's one in Arizona that's in with another building, but not a private stand. That I'm not 100% sure. So at that point, then the chapel was used for funerals and et cetera, even if the families weren't buried here. And until the late 20s, when funeral homes became popular. Mm-hmm. So in the late 20s, from my understanding of history, they didn't use the chapel as much. At some point after that, the chapel went into disrepair. They bricked up the fireplace, they broke out windows, they covered the windows, they took stucco, this was all down, all the stucco was off of here. They tore out the wood steps and put in cement steps and just basically used it for storage. There's pictures in here of lawnmowers and plywood, et cetera.
Wow.
In the late 70s, the Belvedere Junior Women's Club took it upon themselves as a project for the club to restore the building. So it was presented to the cemetery board to have it done, for them to start it. They had to do the research, get the blueprints from Taliesin, match color samples, etc. And there's a letter from one of the board members back to the club that stated that he didn't think women could do it.
Right.
So the women restored it. They had to put in so many hours in order to get the grant money, etc. So that was in the late 70s. So then at that point, it started to be publicized and all of that. Probably in the 80s, then one of the summer camp from the Conservation District brought on the project of bringing the kids to the cemetery and doing some history stuff. They then opened it to the public, which opened up the chapel to the public. So it became more public, the knowledge of the public to it. So they had reenactors and all of that. One of the ladies that worked at the Conservation District, she and the director, said that Saturday, as they were approaching the cemetery, what if no one shows up? And she said they made the corner and there were 200 people standing here.
Yeah.
So that was such a plus. Plus, nice. It was such a great thing for the chapel. I started in 96. There was quite a bit of work still to be done. It's a lot of upkeep with it. So, we've had a lot of restoration projects with it.
It looks great.
It looks, yeah.
I mean, these windows, I'm guessing they're not the original ones. But
No, they're not. Some of them are, but they're, obviously replicas. They also, on the outside, there's bulletproof glass on it. And they did that. I mean, that was done in 1907. And they did that basically because we have a military section out here. So for the 21-gun salute.
Just in case.
Oh, my gosh.
So, nowadays we think of it as the vandalism,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So that, over the years, yellow deteriorated. Painters painted on it. So about 5-6 years ago, we replaced it.
Describe us more to the style in here, because it's very different than I think what people would picture when they picture a chapel.
Right. It's described it's designed as being called a prairie style. That's about all I know. I mean, I really don't know. I do know, and I didn't mention, there were bodies buried here. This was a pauper's field.
Oh, in the cemetery. Oh,
right here.
Oh,
no,
right under.
Right here, okay. Under us. Okay?
Okay.
So they moved them to the back part of the cemetery in order to build this. And that states this in that article, in the 1903 article, that they knew that they would have to do it. Now, just the other day, someone told me they didn't get all the bodies moved.
Okay.
Okay.
So they're still under there.
They're still under there. Okay. Right.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. So, and the bad part is they didn't mark the graves. They moved it probably what we would consider a mass burial, and didn't mark them. Maybe they weren't marked originally.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are there any kind of sightings, legends? I mean, since it is October, normally this question is beneath me, but since it's October, has anybody seen any ghosts or...
We have had people come out that have gotten permission.
Yeah.
I'll call the police department, let them know there's people in the cemetery at night, and they've said yes. Now, I don't know, and I've not had other people say and hear.
But people aren't afraid of this chapel or...
People aren't afraid of the chapel.
I mean, so it has that Frank Lloyd Wright. It's got the low ceiling.
Yeah.
It has the
horizontal line.
Yeah.
Horizontal line.
Strip of windows.
Right.
I don't know. Do you know what these windows are called? I'm not sure. Sort of.
I wish my sister was here.
She would tell us.
I know one thing that he would sometimes design the furniture for his homes too. Do you know if this furniture was specifically designed by him?
No, it was not. But it replicates it.
Yeah.
It replicates that. So
yeah, it's his style of furniture.
It's his style. Originally, when I started, there was chairs in here that were very uncomfortable. I believe the women's club bought them at Target. Okay, but they were the mission style.
Okay.
In the meantime, the women's club has then turned around and donated the padded ones to us. We've had a couple of tables made. We use the chapel. We've had three weddings here. We've had two Halloween weddings. One just four people, very private. The other one was a full blown. Wedding with very, very Halloween. I will not ever allow that again because, first of all, it's very cold in October, and 31st of October, and it's very dark out here. I mean, there's no lighting in the cemetery. We've had the picture that hangs over the fireplace. One of my first couples that were married here met on the Frank Lloyd Wright website, and so they had their wedding here. And that was donated, okay? And that their wedding plaque, their information's on the bottom. It's Paul and Sandy Ringstrom. I believe they live in Peoria now in a home, kind of a mission-style home. They've been very helpful. Paul helped us research what kind of glass we should use on the outside of the windows, and they stay in touch with us.
So they're
often on, very much
That's cute. They met on the website.
Yeah, they met on the website. So
dating app.
Right.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So does the community access this nowadays?
They do access it. We try, especially pre-COVID, we would host more events. Book clubs have used it. Book clubs have used it in October they've read Edgar Allan Poe and here at night.
Perfect.
So book clubs have used it. We've had, we use it for funeral services, for cremations a few more, especially in this last year. When we have a family that's loved one has passed out of town, but they're bringing the cremated remains back to be buried here, the family hasn't gathering here, it's kind of like what you would have at a funeral home for a visitation, and lets their friends come, and be here. So the chapel gets quite a bit of use.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's a chapel, but I really feel more like I'm in a community room or a community space,
right.
A meeting place.
Right.
And it's not very big. How many people?
We can hold comfortably 40.
Okay.
I think we have 37 chairs or something, so we hold 40. A few weeks ago, I want to say, don't remember if it was a Memorial Day weekend or Labor Day weekend, we used the chapel for a luncheon. We have a gentleman, John Lawson, one of our first black families in town, he was a Civil War veteran and is buried out here in the town. As you know, Belvedere is a city of murals. And the city did a mural for John Lawson.
Okay.
And his family came from all over. They were here from Oklahoma and Maryland and the area. And we hosted the luncheon for them here before we did the unveiling of the mural. And that was so cool. So we're, you know, a lot of community things like that. I try to, once again, pre-COVID, host once a year a chamber event. And at the time we had a family that had a local weenie wagon and hot dogs and hot beefs. And then they would come set out here, and then the chamber people would come and we'd have lunch and we'd talk about the chapel and talk about the cemetery and et cetera. So
I love that. That's not what you expect to see, a weenie wagon when you pull into the cemetery.
Not at all.
But that makes it a really nice living space here.
It does. Yeah. And it just, you know, it's very comfortable for people that are afraid of cemeteries. It makes it, you know, just inside the gate.
You have the big long rambling porch too.
Right. So. Yeah. Right. And that's his style. I mean, that's his style. That was, you know, they told me that was his design so that the carriages could pull in that could be raining and they'd be safe.
We got to think it's 1907.
Yeah, you got to think of it being 1907 and they would be safe waiting for the carriages to arrive in the half circle drive.
There. And out front too, we noticed two doors and they seem to go downstairs. Is there a lower level here?
There's a lower level. Now there again, I'm just learning a few things. There is a basement. There were bathrooms. I had a family, one of our times we had just an open house, I had a family come in and she brought in pictures of two great uncles or great great uncles whose funerals were in 1918 that passed close together, and their caskets were in this part of the chapel, which was just phenomenal. I mean, the flowers were unbelievable on them. And then she talked about being growing up in the neighborhood and how they would, instead of running into their house to go to the bathroom, they'd run over here to use the bathrooms. Sure. Now, I don't know when the bathrooms were taken out and et cetera. So I don't have a lot of information. The one side does go into a full basement. And again, just found out a few weeks ago, we have a gentleman that has done a lot of research and does talks through the Laurent House in Rockford that said there was only half basement done when it was built. And they realized they needed to do the full basement, so they carried it out in buckets and that. I had never heard that.
This being the only chapel that he designed, then I'm assuming you have a lot of Wright scholars coming through here.
All the time.
So what? And what do they? What is? If I had studied Frank Lloyd Wright my whole life, what's the first thing I'd want to see when I was here?
The first thing that they come in and many of them question the color, that it's not the proper color.
It's because it's green and you have
it's kind of
white,
a gray green and it's an off white. But
it's
they went, you know, they have it in the blueprints and they took chips of it to be matched. So we're quite sure that that's what it is. I think from, again, learning recently, the ceiling was destroyed and that's not 100% of how it was. There wasn't anything in the blueprints. If I'm understanding what someone told me recently, so they just went with what his style would be.
Right. Took a little creative license.
And then the lighting. Now, obviously, the square lighting wasn't, you know, exactly, because that wasn't in the blueprints either. But other than that, they just, everybody comments on the ledge on the fireplace. That's known. I think that's in his studio in Oak Park, similar to that also. We did have a gentleman not too long ago said, I just had to stop here because I really don't like Frank Lloyd Wright. He said, okay. We have a gentleman, he's now deceased, that grew up in Darien, Wisconsin, and worked in the hardware store where Frank would come and purchase his hardware stuff. And he said he would come in and slam his cane down on the desk. But he was also known of not always following through with his bill.
Yeah.
So, but Jerry, bless his heart, Jerry was able to buy Frank's cane, I guess, at one of the auctions or something. So,
oh, man.
So, so
now
yeah,
he can slam it.
Now he can good. Slam it. So, so yeah, just these little stories of, you know, we had one of our open houses we had was the gentleman that knew his brother, knew Frank's brother, and he was a watchmaker, and that he had recently purchased a watch, and I think his name was Edward, and had that information in there. So just those little pieces that people bring to yeah. us is, you know, one of the architects, I'm going to say, in one of our last tours earlier this summer, that helped the women's club with some of the work was here. So now we're trying to get back to him so we can ask him some more questions and ask, you know, kind of work with him also. So it's just every day is an interesting day. I said I wished I had known from day one I would have journaled.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, because it's, you know, in fact, just recently I've had two groups of friends that we've just come in and walked, you know, and of course being here as long as I have and doing my own research, you know, is just phenomenal.
Just ongoing. Just,
it is ongoing. Yeah. It is just ongoing.
Can we look
so,
at the porch? Can we go out
sure,
and see,
sure.
And see
yeah. So with, people can just come here and they can stand on the porch and look, you know, peer in the windows mm-hmm. anytime.
Right? Anytime, absolutely. Yeah, because we're not a gated cemetery. So, yeah. So yeah, anytime they can do that. But if we're on the grounds, they just have to ask and we come over and unlock it. I can't unlock it on a daily basis because we can't see it from the office.
Yeah.
And so that would make it, you know, kind of difficult. Plans are, hopefully, and have been in the works for a long time, to have a prairie style office built
oh,
in
yeah.
the front
kind
of the
match
center.
This building
kind of match
a little bit.
This one. Yeah. 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 So this is the porch. These were added for handicapped accessible, as close as we could get for handicapped
railings. Seven,
the railings. You can see they're detachable. So we were able to keep them within the registrar's perimeters to be able to make that take that off. So
wow.
I was hoping it'd be a warmer day. We have this is kind of our original grounds. And after 100 years of burial, we can go back and reclaim. You used to buy a cemetery lot that would be 6, 8, 10, 12 spaces. So many of them would come in, have one burial, sometimes just the housekeeper, etc., and then move out of the area. So in 1993, they went back. I think they said it was a 3-year process, and we went back and reclaimed some of these spaces. And so you see a few of the more modern stones out here, grave markers.
Oh, yeah.
Those are reclaimed spaces.
Like the black shiny.
The black shiny is very yeah. Frank Lloyd Wright. That's one of my board members.
Oh.
He is very Frank Lloyd Wright, and it took him quite a while to get that designed. But Dr. Pettit.
Yeah. I could see him from here.
You can see him and notice the top of his marker resembles the top of the chapel.
Oh.
Now, whether Frank designed that or not, I don't know.
They must have been pretty influential to be able to get this chapel built.
I mean, obviously, you know, knew the right people. And $3,000 in 1907 is a lot of money.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It was a lot of money. So
it's really a very picturesque cemetery, too. You have it, you have the houses you can see. It looks like it's just right in the middle of the community.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cornfield straight ahead there.
The cornfield is our
looks
property.
Beautiful.
Is our property.
So that could be future.
So we will have, I feel we probably have 200 years of burial here. State of Illinois, you have to, when you buy it, now you buy a cemetery space. You no longer buy a cemetery lot. So you buy a cemetery space. Illinois law, we have to put 15% of that lot sale into a perpetual care trust. So there will always be money to take care of the grounds. I mean, right now we function on lot sales, burials, et cetera, monument sales.
And corn growing.
And corn growing. Yes, we do.
You rent that out?
We do rent that out. Once we seed it, and we have to pay property tax on that because we have an income coming in on it.
Oh, wow.
So once we seed it, then we won't have to pay property tax. But That's probably not my time. So the copper stripping,
yeah,
is to try to keep the water deterred, to keep it from falling on this wood.
Yeah.
Because it just rotted that wood all the time. It was just, you know.
Yeah, I don't think Frank liked gutters very much.
He did not like gutters, but what else can we do?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because it's just continues.
Is this part of your job, finding the money for this chapel? Keep the upkeep of this?
Not really, no. There's already a fund. We had a prominent family that has left money for the chapel,
good,
which kind of surprised me because the rumor in town was Bessie and Emmett Sullivan, and their burial is in a triangle just on the other side, north of here. Oh. She didn't like this chapel being built because supposedly she was a child and watched them move the bodies and said that they robbed from the graves. But I don't know the truth to that. And she obviously left.
Yeah,
be disturbing. Yes. That would be a little disturbing.
Was this Belvedere's main cemetery originally? Yes. I'm assuming there's plenty more now. But
yeah. Well, there really isn't. We have the Catholic cemetery that's here, and it's landlocked. So they have to build up. That's right. And then we have country cemeteries. So in 2010, because of the situation in Burr Oak Cemetery in Chicago where they moved the bodies, we now have to be licensed, and we now have to register all of our burials, and every family has to sign, which created, for my little office, more work, more paper, etc. At one point, probably in the 40s, early 50s, they would sell a cemetery lot of three, which doesn't make any sense because now I have tons of area that have one space.
Yeah, you have an interesting job that I think a lot of people don't know about, or it's the kind of behind the scenes of how a cemetery actually functions.
Absolutely, because then everybody thinks it's just a fun job. And it has its positives, but it has its negatives. It's not just a walk in here, sell this monument, have this burial. Every emotion that goes with it.
Yeah.
The genealogy, the first couple of years, I worked alone the first couple of years, and then I hired someone, and we got into genealogy a lot just because working on our records. And so that's so interesting. But then everybody comes in and says, oh, that's so fun. Do you need extra help? But there's a lot more to it. You know, I'm looking at retirement, and it's very difficult because it's got to be the right person.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so...
You're not grooming anybody at the moment?
I'm trying. I'm trying. But she's struggling. She's working with me on organization and that kind of stuff in the office. But she's struggling as she reads obits about how they died and when they died. And, of course, especially children.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's the hard one. So the group that I met with yesterday, the 14th of December, we are doing Wreaths Across America.
Wreaths?
Wreaths Across America. I'd had an acquaintance that had been for years, knew about it, wanted one for her dad's grave. Wreaths Across America reached out to me, and I said, reach out to her. So she has really pushed it, working with the Daughters of American Revolution, the American Legion, of coming out here. So this will be our third year. And you can purchase a wreath. I think they're $17. You can purchase a wreath. You can designate whose grave you want it on, or you can just purchase the wreath. And so our first year, I think we had 395, I'm going to say off the top of my head. The second year we had 1,300.
Wow.
Because I think I have about 1,500 to 1,700 veterans buried here.
So Wreaths Across America is for military?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And they my place stays pretty full. they're trying to reach out to some of the country cemeteries to see if they can honor them too in some of the country cemeteries. So,
and they probably come to you because how many country cemeteries have someone with an office? Okay. Your face says it all.
That's what I was going to say. The questions come in, you know. Yeah. Like the other day I had one that said, Sam, what do we do? We're trying to pay our mower. We no longer have the money, so the township's going to step in. But now it goes under workman's comp and does this. And so we talked a little bit. I gave him some ideas, and then I put him in touch with two other small cemeteries. And what do you do? How do you guys do it? And what? Who can you get to volunteer to do it, et cetera? You know, they're
so
always...
So much bureaucracy from the living, making it hard, making your
Again,
life
that
hard.
Face. Yeah. Lips are closed.
Lips are closed.
That was all you did.
That's right. So, and with our new law in 2010, so one of the things when you're saying the questions... We had these huge group meetings, my husband and I, and I belong to the Alliance of Illinois Cemeterians, so a bunch of us would meet in Chicago and meet in Springfield and try to fight with this. But because they put such rules and cost to us, you know, our payment for our membership, et cetera, the little cemeteries panicked and turned their cemeteries over to townships. Mm. So that, then it was because a township can be exempt from these laws.
Okay.
But so when it came up, because we have to have a map and we have to have blah, 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 and we have to have, like, my map's hanging on the wall. And a lot of these guys said, hey, I took this over from my dad. He took it over from my grandpa.
Right.
And one guy said, my map's on a window shade. He said, they call him, funeral home calls me. I meet the family in the cemetery, and he said, I get my window shade out. So he said, how can I don't have an office to post this, you know, so it makes it, you know, it just makes it crazy. So, but
I just learned a new word today too. Cemeterians.
Cemeterians.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And I wanted to change my title to a cemeterian because in Webster is a sexton is a person that takes care of a church cemetery.
Oh.
But the board wouldn't let me. Mm-hmm. I said, you're a sexton. Okay. I had a Catholic priest tell me, well, that sounds like a lot of, like a ton of fun. I was like, okay. So.
I have a slightly morbid question.
Okay.
You've worked here for so long. You've got family here. Many, 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 many years in the future. Mm-hmm. You have a spot picked out for yourself. You must know exactly.
And my husband's there.
You've got it. Oh, okay.
My husband's there. I lost my husband just 2 years ago.
Oh, sorry.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So my mother passed in 1986. I knew where I was going to be buried. And I say that to so many of my families because they'll come in and say, oh, no. And I'll say, until you put your parent here.
Right.
About 2 weeks, I get the phone call that says, hey, Sam, is there anything by my mom?
Yeah.
Or is there anything by my dad?
Did little Sam go, someday I'm going to be a cemeterian?
Yep. So what I would do, because I was raised here.
Okay.
What I would do for my unwind was I would come out and water. My husband bought me a red wagon that I filled with plastic milk jugs, and I would fill them, and I would spend about 2 hours... probably twice a week, and I'd just walk, and I'd water flowers, and I'd clip them off, and I would just do, right?
Yeah.
So one day I was out here. I had worked 10 and a half years at the newspaper office, and I went from the newspaper office to a farm service and worked 5.5 years for a farm service. So one night after farm service, and it was starting to get a lot of hours, and I stopped to water graves, and I'm out here, and I look across at the office, and I think, wonder if Eleanor would like to retire. How do you walk, my brain, literally, how do you walk into somebody's office and say, would you like to retire? Again, because everybody thinks it's a cool job.
Yeah, oh, I get it all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. So the newspaper had been asking me to come back, so I accepted the job. This is all within a 2 week situation, right? I accepted the job. One of my farmers came in, and he said, I understand you're leaving. And I said, yes. And he said, can I ask you where you're going? And I said, back to the paper. And he said, oh. I said, can I ask you why you asked? And he said, I'm on the cemetery board, and Eleanor's retiring.
Oh.
So I had to do some deep thoughts. I went for 1 year back to the paper, I hated every day. I was in the circulation department. Meantime, I got the rumor that the person they hired didn't work out. So I had a newspaper route that the kids forgot to deliver. So my husband and I, my daughter and her boyfriend, before we went to dinner, grabbed the newspapers, grabbed the list, and as I walked up to a house, this man came out and said, I'm calling the office. This newspaper's always here at 3:30, and it's 6 o'clock, and it's not here. And I said, sir, I am the office. Take the stress off. Went to dinner, called Max, and said, is that position still open? The rest is history.
Wow. Everything happens for a reason.
I think if I had bailed out on the newspaper job, I probably would have always questioned, should I had gone back, which now it's all dissolved. There's no newspapers anymore. There's always a cemetery.
Job security.
Job security.
There's always a cemetery. That closes out this month's edition of Under Rocks. A huge thanks to Sam Larson at Belvedere Cemetery for sharing her story with us. You can learn more about the cemetery and the chapel designed by Frank Lloyd Wright at belvederecemetery.com, and that's spelled C-E-M-E-T-E-R-Y. Sam made a point to get that correct. Let us know what unique, interesting places, people, or things we should investigate next by emailing rocks@niu.edu. Under Rocks is produced by Spencer Tritt, Susan Stevens, and Dan Libman at WNIJ Studios. Thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.